Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, and then Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. So Acts chapter 6 and verse 3 and Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. And while you're finding those, I'm going to read you a verse. I'm going to call it a bridge. This is going to be a verse that is going to I'm going to use as a bridge between Acts and Ephesians. But I just want to read this one to you as you find in those. It says in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then in Acts, well, I asked you to look in and turn in Acts chapter 6. Well, I enjoyed Brother Chris, our preacher, study through Acts right before the Matthew we're doing now. He went through the book of Acts, just verse by verse. It's just so awesome. The 10 years I've been here, the churches I was at previously, the preachers didn't do that type of study on the Wednesday nights, the verse by verse through the books. And it really blessed my heart. I mean, I know me, that seeing that teaching that happens. And our preacher, Brother Chris, is just, I know you'll agree, we're just lucky to have him. But in Acts, when he went through it, we were at in chapter 6 here, the church, the early church, the first church, is just about to explode. It's just about to take off with all the witnessing and the numbers that are about to happen. But before that, the apostles are seeing they're going to need some help, and they're going to need to find some faithful men and people to help them. And I just love this character, this character that we find in chapter 6. He is such an awesome example. And so I'm going to use this. Now, the title tonight, what I want to try here in these few minutes to get across is this thought, becoming a full-service Christian. Becoming a full-service Christian. And where we're at in Acts is going to be about the man Stephen, one of the first deacons. He'll talk about him here. But in verse 3, it starts out there and says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Then in verse 5, it says, and this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And if you look at verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You know, it talks about Stephen, about the pitiful man Stephen. It uses that word full. It uses that full, several times. I know in my reading it said full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom and full of faith and then full of power. Well, the full, of course, the opposite of the full would be empty or full and stuff. And so full, it brings across the thought of somebody desiring to be continually being filled up, being full of these things. And I'm about to show you James chapter 1, verse 5. It talked about if we lack wisdom, we just need to ask God, didn't it? I mean, just ask God of it, that He gives it out just abundantly. I can't say that word. I growing up, I had a problem with my tongue, T-H. I'm saying, I know that liberally or I'd butcher it. I know I butcher it. But it means just freely giving out to when you ask. And then abradeth is like He's not going to scold you for past results or past deals. He's not going to hold back from anybody that comes and calls to Him, for that wisdom. And so something I want to show you with Stephen that happened. If you go to chapter 7, we don't have time, so we can't read it, but that's an awesome chapter. The whole chapter, Stephen is standing before a council where he's being put on trial for his stance of the gospel. And man, he gives one of the greatest history lessons about from Moses to David. I mean, golly, just that whole chapter throughout there. It's an amazing chapter. But I want to pick up in verse 54 as we're getting down to the end where we all probably familiar with Stephen is about to be facing the end of his life. But look what it says in verse 54. It says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gashed him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. And they ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Man, what a man. You know, something written here. This is the first mention the Bible gives us about this man named Saul. Now, Saul is going to be the Apostle Paul. He's going to be the great man that God used to write over half of the New Testament, you know, the Bible. But now here he is, a young man, and he's witnessing what's happening to Stephen. And I believe this really had a big impact on his heart. We know the Lord and the Holy Spirit and all of his directions did what they did with Paul, but his fleshly side, his human side, he never forgot this day. I believe Paul never forgot this day when he stood and watched Stephen and the spirit of Stephen and Stephen saying, lay not this sin to their charge as he's being stoned. He never forgot that. And one way I can say that is, when God does use Paul now, years later, it hadn't even been written when Stephen is involved here, but we come to Ephesians, and I believe when the Holy Spirit is using him here, I just see Stephen in these verses. I see Paul seeing what happened with Stephen, okay? And so if you go with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, and while you're getting there, I wonder what I'm going to read. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. I just love that phrase, filled with fullness. Filled with fullness just means a constant filling up. But it only happens, like Paul and Stephen, if we want to become a full-service Christian. If we want that filling, we have to ask. So I want to share with you briefly. I want to share with you something that happened to me when I was a young kid. Brother Royce isn't here tonight, but he remember he grew up in a little town called Tokyo, Texas, about 15 miles west of Brownville and 15 miles east of Plains. All right, in the middle of all that stuff, there's this little country, there's a little town of Tokyo, Texas, okay? And when I was 8 years old, my mom and dad, my mom ran a little store there. Now, I'm going to have to get you to use your imaginations here. Would you imagine that this is a car or a pickup truck, whatever it might be. But when I was eight, I helped my mom with the gas station. The gas station that had in front of the little store. And some of you, that'll be dating me now. Many of you here will remember this, but a lot of you won't remember this. There is such a thing, or was such a thing, of a full-service gas station. Nowadays, you go to a gas dump, you got to get out and get your own gas, put the card in, and get you all this stuff. But it used to be a full-service gas station. When you got your gas, it was put in for you, and there was some service given to you. And I want to show you something I remember about that year. As I worked in that station with my mom, the attendant to the station there, I always heard all the time these words. People would pull up to the pump, roll down the window, and I'd be going up there, and they'd say, fill her up, please. They'd use that phrase, fill her up, please. Well, I'd hear that phrase, told me, fill her up, please, and I'd go to the back of the car, and I'd take off the gas thing, or go to the back where the gas would be. I'd get the pump thing out, stick it in there, and I'd put it half speed, not full speed up. I'd lock it in about halfway down, and it's putting the gas in. And while I was putting the gas in, then I'd walk around, And I begin to check the tires for air. We'll go around and check the tires here and check it around here. And I go around and I get the windshield and I'd be wiping off the front of the windshield or the back of the windshield. And I'd be doing these things. And then the gas would finish up and, you know, I'd finish getting the gas. But when I thought about this, I remembered and reflected back on that. There were several different things people did. Now, they were at a full-service attendant gas station. But if they rolled up and they told me, fill her up, please, I'd always do that step of what I just showed you. But then, there would be a lot of people come in, and here's what they'd do. They'd say, fill her up, please. Oh, I'm going to pop my hood. And what they were telling me is, they wanted some more service. You know, they want to pop the hood and stuff. I would put the gas to run in and stuff. I'd go around and check the tires. I'd watch the windshield. But now then, I'd have to open up the hood of the car or get the hood opened up. And then I had to check the oil to see if the oil level, what it was. I'd look at the water for the radiator. And I'd look all this and get with some stuff and get the gas. But think about it. Same service, but someone didn't want, the first person didn't ask for the full service or all the service they could get. They took the windshield being washed and got the tires checked, got the gas filled up. They were satisfied with that. But a lot of people would say, check underneath my hood, check everything around there. There was some group like that. But I had a lot of people did this. I'd come up and they'd say, fill her up, please. And oh, my windshield, it's okay. My tires, it's okay. You stay back there at the pump. What they meant was, don't put it on half speed. You get that thing going, the gas is going in. And we want you to get the gas in, and we want to get out of here. You know, we got to get our gas, we got to go. But I started thinking about that with this thought. Full service Christian. Stephen, he desired to be a full service Christian. He was full because he sought God for it. We see these people, they had their choices. When they drove up, they could take all the service available to them or little. Same thing for us. We come to church, we read our Bible. God says, I have so much to give you. But it's up to you. How much do you want? How much do you want? How much are you willing to really want? So many times people just say, I want just a little bit. I just want the gas in, go and be my own thing, right? You see, Stephen, the only way he could do the things he did with the power that he had and be able to take that stone in, and I tell you, he made a difference in Saul's life, his testimony did. The only way he could do that was to be full. He said, I want to be a full-service Christian. And when he said that, he meant, God, I want everything you have to give me. I want it. And that's what when I thought about doing that, when I was a kid, when I thought about it, everybody had their chances to pick their service that they wanted provided to them, right? We had that same opportunity when we come to God's house, you know. How much do we want? Do we want to be a full-service Christian, asking for everything God has to give us? Or do we say, I'll just take my little bit and go on my way, you know? Man, this world needs some full-service Christians, don't it? Man, we need God's full service on us. Listen to these things. Here are some things that are available to me and you. We've read James 1, verse 5, 2-3 times. We're going to read it again. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, that's me, I like it. I like a lot. I don't have enough. It says, let him ask of God that giveth it to all men. And here's the butchery word, huh? Liberally. And upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But don't stop there. And these are just a couple. You could go on and on. How about, do anybody need a little bit of peace tonight? Has it been stressful? Has there been stress? Has there been stuff? Does anybody need just a little peace? Well, if you're a full service Christian, John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave you. My peace," talking about Jesus, "I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, that's available for a full service Christian. How about joy? John 15:11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy," Jesus says, "my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Might be full. Man, a full service Christian. You know that? The man, Stephen, full. We get to Ephesians. It says, filled with fullness. Filled with fullness, you know? And then, like we tried to say in James, to get them together, it all depends on our desire to our Lord, to God. What kind of Christian do we want to be, you know? Full service Christian. Brother David.